Paul, who did a couple of weeks ago, and tag teaming a little bit. And really, one of the things we want to do this morning is to encourage us to raise our faith, raise our expectations, raise our kind of expectations of what God is doing and what God will do. And the reason we want to do that is because we're in this season of review, reset, reimagine, where we are just looking back over what God has done over the last few years in us as a church. And so we're doing that over this month. And then next month, we're going to start resetting some of the visions, some of the values that we have, and some of the kind of things we feel like God has said to us. And then in that's June. And then in July, we're going to move into the reimagine part of where we're going to start looking to what is next then, God. Like, this has been good. Where we're at is a good place. But what's next? What's next to come? So, yeah, that's what we're going to do. If you put on the next slide, Lucy, that'd be great. Oh, the next one after that. There we go. Review. So we're in the review season at the moment. This month we're reviewing. We've had a couple of meetings on a Wednesday evening where we've reviewed kind of where we're at. Paul and Andy did a fantastic job the week before last where they reviewed kind of the first part of our vision statement over here, bringing healing, wholeness and freedom was what they focused in on. And the question that was asked was, how free are we? How healed are we? How whole do we feel we are? Because if we're a church that's going to see and bring healing, wholeness and freedom to people and to our city and to our region, then we need to be people who are free ourselves. We know freedom, that we know wholeness, and that we know healing in ourselves, whether that's inner healing, whether that's physical healing, emotional healing, whatever that is. We want to be people who are full of life and full of God, who are whole and who are confident in who they feel called to be, who you feel called to be, that you can go and do the stuff that Jesus wants you to do wherever you find yourself, Monday to Friday, Saturday, and even Sunday, because let's be honest, we're not always doing this on a Sunday, because we do missional communities, we do messy church, we do different things. So wherever you find yourself, we want you to feel, we want us to collectively feel that we are confident in who Jesus is and who we are, so that we can go and make disciples like Jesus tells us to do. Because we take it seriously, don't we? Like, it's not just some nice thing that Jesus thought, these are some good words at the end. Go and make some disciples if you want, if you fancy. No, he was like, no, go. And he didn't just say go, he then put power in his disciples to go. And he does the same for us, that we go in the power that God has given us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So Sam and I are going to just look at the second part of our vision statement, which says, as we expect, it's over here, that's why I'm looking over here, just to make sure I get it in the right order, not because I've forgotten. As we expect great things from God and attempt great things with God. So I guess to kick us off this morning, the question that I have is, like, what did we expect and what did we attempt as we look back over the last few years? What did we see? Andy, when he started off, a couple of weeks ago, he said that he looked at Luke chapter 4, where it's like Jesus' manifesto, where Jesus says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news, and he carries on. And then some people who were listening said, isn't this Joseph's son? Some people were like, wow, this is amazing. But some people were like, isn't this Joseph's son? And Andy asked a question, and I don't know if you heard this question, but it really stood out to me. It kind of grabbed hold of me. He said, who do you see? Because some people didn't see a potential Messiah. They didn't see the Son of God in that story. They saw Joseph's son. They just saw this kid that had been growing up in their community. And they didn't see Jesus as Jesus. They just, isn't this Joseph's son? And it really stood out to me, like, who do I see when I think of Jesus? What do I see? And then if I just see a man, then that probably doesn't raise much expectation or much level of faith, does it? But actually, if I see that he really is who he said he is, he really can do what he said he can do, what we read he can do, if he really is those things, then actually that starts to raise my faith just a little bit more than if he was just a good man. If he is actually the Son of God and he really is who he says he is, which I believe he is, he really is God, he really can do the things that we read about and the things that we talk about, then my faith starts to rise. And I start to have confidence in who Jesus is. And I start to have courage. Maybe it is possible that we will see hundreds and thousands of people come to know Jesus. Because if we're not thinking that, then what are we doing? Because it's nice doing church. But actually, we have a message which is the hope of the world. And I believe that message is powerful enough to change the world. And I'm excited by that. So we're going to raise our faith. We're going to raise encouragement. So what do we expect? What do you see? And then just before I hand over to Sam, I was thinking about this yesterday. Like, we were watching. Did anyone watch the FA Cup? Pans up. No. Is Ollie in here? Has Ollie gone out? I bet Ollie watched the FA Cup, didn't he? Because he's a big City fan. I mean, he's big, but he's a big City fan too. So me and my brother-in-law, Chris, who's at the back there. Hi, Chris. We were watching the football. We're both Man United fans, so we were rooting for Watford. But I have to say, our expectation levels weren't particularly high, especially after the first goal went in. So if you don't know the result, City won 6-0. Watford didn't have a chance. They just did not have a chance. And my expectations were that City were going to win. I had expectations. And I thought maybe they'll win quite well. We left the house to go to the cinema last night. We left about, I think it was about 4-0, wasn't it, when we left? When we got to near the cinema, I put Radio 5 Live on just to check the score, 6-0. I was like, well, what did you expect? Like, and it just kind of thought to myself, like, what do we expect? Like, what do you expect in your life? When you look at your life, what do you expect to happen? Like, what did you expect to happen over this last year as you look back? Did something surprise you? Some things, life does throw some curveballs at us, doesn't it? That's an American phrase. I think it means things that surprise you. But life throws things at us that do catch us out. They surprise us. I didn't see that coming. Maybe some of you didn't expect to find yourself in church this morning when you look back over the last year. Like, I didn't know I was going to end up here. How did that happen? Because Jesus loves you. That's how it happened. But like, what did you expect as you look back? And what did we expect as a church as we look back? What did we think we would see happen? I'm going to hand over to Sam.
Do you mind if I read some Bible? I love the Bible. This is the Passion Translation, which is a really fun one. It just infuses it with a bit of passion, which is always good. I've also got the NIV down here. But it's Matthew 6, and it's just after. So if you look back, John the Baptist baptized Jesus. The dove came down on him. Then Jesus went out into the wilderness, and we know what happened there. Jesus was tempted by the devil. Jesus smashed the devil back down and said, we worship God and not the enemy. And so he won so much back then. But he then starts teaching about all the different things that actually we kind of want to skip over. Things like don't be angry. It's hard. I didn't realize the level of patience until you have kids. I thought I was a really patient person. And then I had kids, and oh my, is it a battle to be patient and to keep your peace every day. But they all are great as well. So anger and adultery and making oaths and loving your enemies, all the things that we don't want to do. But God knew that this is what he needed to tell us to do, because he knew that these things would come against us every single day. And your peace is something so precious. And I've started to recognize that in my life. You wake up, and me and my wife, we wake up early so that we can get a head start with coffee and God. Coffee helps, and God is amazing in the morning, and then when the kids come down, but we have to sneak down. Oh, it's so annoying, because you know the floorboards, they creak so much louder in the morning when your kids are sleeping than they do any other part of the day. So we sneak down, and we try to spend time with God, and that's just to give us a kickstart. We're like, God, we need your peace today, because we know that everything is going to bombard us with peace. Because I can tell you one thing right now, that circumstances in the world will not change. We're always going to face difficult circumstances. That's not going to change. We're always going to face death. We're always going to face things like cancer, things like depression, things like anxiety, things like stress, things like anger. We're always going to face them, and Jesus knew that. He said, you know what? We need to stand up against those things. So don't let your peace be stolen. So that's what I did, and I was really conscious about it this morning, because I knew that I was going to come and talk about it now. So I was thinking, okay, you got to be really careful today, because today is going to be a bombardment on my peace, like every day, but I'm just going to try to keep it. And so the kids come down earlier than they're supposed to. They don't listen to me about going back upstairs until the little sun is up. because they just don't, because they're kids and they just want to start the day. And we set up a tent in our living room, which is a bad idea if you want your kids to go back upstairs. They're like, no, we want to go in there, Dan. This is like 6:30 in the morning. And your peace could be stolen in that moment. But instead, I sat with Caleb, and I tried to explain this concept to Caleb, which is really difficult. When you say to a child, you're like, okay, you know about worry? And he's like, no. I'm like, oh, well, you know when something doesn't work out as you expect and you're like worried about it? And he's like, no. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So I had to use, what if your teachers forgot to order you lunch that day? And he was like, I still don't get it. But I just loved it. But he got it towards the end. And I said, and this is what I said. I said, Caleb, try to steal my tablet from me. And so he took it away from me. And I was like, okay, try to steal my Bible from me. And he took it away. And then I said, Caleb, try to steal my love for you away. And he sat there and he thought for a moment. And then he started grabbing at my sweatshirt. And I said, you don't stand a chance because it's not going anywhere. And I just thought about that with God. I was like, you know what? What the world gives us can be taken away. But when we focus on what God gives us, that can't be taken away. So when we're thinking about expecting great things from God and expecting great things with God, I expect those things. But if I don't first and foremost seek everything that God says about me, my peace will be stolen and everything will be gone. Can I tell you a quick story? I'm a little bit afraid of telling this story because it involves fines, which means that I did something wrong. So I just ask you now, don't judge me on the story of why I was fined. Just listen to what God taught me out of it. So sometimes, as careful as you can be when you're driving your car, sometimes, no, I wasn't speeding. Come on now, Fran's laughing. You park somewhere that you're not supposed to park. And I didn't realize it was on a Sunday evening. Ruth's laughing already because she remembers it happened. I was out there. I was sweeping away the leaves, wasn't I? I was like, where's the yellow line? There is no yellow line. Like, how can you? And I was looking for the sign. And then I walked to the very end of the street. And it had the whole section of the street was like cordoned off for residents. So I apologize for anyone that lives in, was it Newtown or wherever it was near Christchurch. But I was caught. And there's other times just after that, and fines, it was like fines just kept coming through the door. You drove through a bus lane and you didn't realize it. That wasn't me, that was Kitty, but that's okay. I don't judge her. We love each other. If I'm married to her, it's as much me driving through that bus lane as it is her. I can never say, this is the best thing I ever learned, when I'm married to Katie, I cannot say you, I have to say we. So if she got a fine, we got a fine. So it doesn't matter, I can't blame her. So anyway, we did that, and then actually, it came up that actually I got a bigger fine like two weeks later. I couldn't believe it. Even the Mersey toll, I just forgot to pay the £2, and then it turns into £20. So that's frustrating in itself. But so I had all these things coming against me. And I was like, God, I woke up in the morning and I was like, I'm not supposed to have fines like this. This isn't right. And I started blaming the people that gave me fines. And then the rest of the day was just horrible. Have you ever noticed you sometimes do that? You lose your peace in the morning and then the rest of the day is just horrible. So when I'm trying to imagine great things with God and imagine great things from God, when I lose my peace at the very beginning of the day, it just doesn't happen. I don't recognize God had so many things lined up for me. And so the next day, I was angry about it again. And I actually called the people that were trying to get money from me. And they said, oh, it doesn't matter. You just need to give us money. And I was like, how did they say that about me? And I'm like, oh, and God said something to me. He said, how much is your peace worth? And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, how much will you sell your peace for this morning? £240? Will you sell it for that? And I was like, oh. And he was like, pay the fine right now. So I got my phone out. I paid the fine. It was done and it was gone and my peace returned to me. And then that day, God had so many things lined up for me to see. So many things. I can't remember which day it would have been, but days where I was just able to look at someone in the petrol station and say, hey, God loves you so much today because I had my peace. So I just want you guys to think, not to be judged, not to feel judged about this, but how often do you just let your peace disappear? Even this morning, who's already lost their peace this morning? You don't have to raise your hands, but who's already lost their peace this morning and who wants it back? Just allow God to give you that peace back, because he will. And the only way you can do it is focus on what God says about you and not what the world says about you. So I'm going to hand over to Ed, and I might pick that up after if we have time. But
That's good. So the Bible bit, Sam, that you didn't read. Because you got carried away. It's great, though. I love that story. How much is your peace worth? Oh, you've got it open there. Yeah, it is. It's there. It's right there. It says, this is the Passion. It says, when you fast, don't look to those. No, it's not that bit. Don't keep hoarding for yourself earthly treasures so that it can be stolen by thieves. Material wealthy eventual rusts, decays, and loses its value. Instead, stockpile heavenly treasure for yourselves that cannot be stolen and will never rust, decay, or lose their value. For your heart will always pursue what you value as your treasure. And then this bit, the eyes of your spirit allow revelation, light, to enter into your being. If your heart is unclouded, the light floods in. If your heart is unclouded, the light floods in. I love that. But if your eyes are focused on money or anything else, to be honest, the light cannot penetrate the darkness and the darkness takes its place. So we were kind of thinking about this week, like what are we allowing in through what we see? When we look at these situations in front of us, like the situation with Sam with his fines or whatever the situation might be, it might be issues in your family, it might be health, it might be your job isn't going as well as you'd like it to. Whatever it is that you see with your eyes naturally, what is it that actually God is saying in those situations? And are we allowing the light of God into us by keeping our eyes focused on him, or are we allowing darkness in and the kind of the cloudedness of life to swamp how we actually should be living our lives? And it's not a judgment thing, it's just a reality check. Like actually, if we want to see God do great things, if we want to attempt these things with God, if we want to step out in faith, actually, what are we fixing our attention on? Is it the situation with the fines? Is it the situation with health? Is it the family problems? Is it this? Is it that? Is it whatever? Or are we lifting our eyes up, like the psalmist says, and fixing our eyes? It says, I lift my eyes to the Lord. Where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Like, is that where we are gazing upon? Is that where we're lifting our eyes up and going, God, this is the situation, but I'm going to look to you for hope. And how many of us, just think back over your life, when there has been a situation which you thought, oh my goodness, there is no way I can see through this. There is nothing, I don't know how on earth, God, you are going to redeem, rescue, restore, whatever it is. But actually you look back and you can say, ah, yeah, God was in that. He was with me so much. And now I see it. I recognize it. And I'm going to be all right. Next part of Matthew chapter 6 talks about seeking first. It's this whole kind of seeking, like if we're looking for God. Andy said, what do you see in that first week? What do you see? Do you see Joseph's son? Jesus says, seek first the kingdom. Seek it. I looked up what seek means, and it means to seek. It means to look for. It means to like investigate, to go after. It's a good preacher joke that. You can use that one. You look up a word in the Greek to sound fancy and it just says the same thing. It's like it means what it says. Oh, good. Because other times you go, the Greek means this and actually it unpacks this. And it's like, no, seek just means seek. It means like seek it, go after it, investigate, find it. That's what it means. It means seek. Hide and seek. You don't just kind of stand there looking around, do you, when you're playing hide and seek? If you do, you're going to be rubbish at the game. I'm just going to say that. If that's how you've played hide and seek, it's not going to work. But actually, when you seek, you go after, you look, you uncover stuff. My kids do it. They pull the cushions off the sofa. They pull all the bed covers off the beds. They're trying to find wherever it is the person might be hiding, and they find them under the bed, and they've moved some boxes and hidden themselves in. They pull the boxes out. There's an action involved in seeking. It's not just like looking around. It's just not going to work. Seek, go after God. Seek first. The priority that God wants us to have, that Jesus wants us to have, is his kingdom. And this is in the context, in the NIV, the subtitle for this passage says, do not worry. Do not worry. Jesus says, don't worry about stuff. Don't worry about your money. Don't worry about your clothes or what your food you're going to eat. Because the birds and the fields, they're okay. God looks after them. So how much more will God look after you if your priority is to seek first his kingdom, to go after that? And then Jesus says, and then all these things, because God doesn't forget about these things, all these things will be given to you also. So I don't know what for you at the moment, what are all these things for you? Whatever they are they prioritized out of order? Are you seeking first the issue with your job? Are you seeking first promotion? Are you seeking first a relationship? Are you seeking first your education? GCSE time, A-level time, pupils who are doing those things, students working hard. Seek first the kingdom. Don't seek first your education. Work hard. Do your work. But the priority is God. It always is God. But actually, we honour God by doing the things that we're called to do. We see that with Joseph in the Old Testament, don't we? That he actually worked really hard as a slave and got promoted. He did all the stuff. But actually, his heart, his desire of his heart, was to go after God. So if we're going to expect and attempt these things with God, what are our priorities in our lives? And have we got them out of order? What are our priorities in our church? Because actually, churches, let's be honest, we get the wrong priorities sometimes. Sometimes we seek first a great time of worship. Sometimes we seek first a great message, a great preacher. I'm sorry that that's not the case today. I'm kidding. Put myself down this one. But sometimes we seek first a good experience. We seek first a good, whatever it might be, I don't know, good youth work, good kids work. And praise the Lord, we have those things in this church. And God is doing some great things amongst our worship. He's doing great things amongst our kids. He's doing great things amongst our youth. He's doing great things amongst us in our missional communities. We are seeing great things happen. But what is our priority? It's to seek first his kingdom. And sometimes we need to stop doing some of the other stuff to do that priority first. Sometimes the stuff can actually get in the way. And I don't think we're in danger of that at the moment. I don't think we're like, oh my goodness, we're putting too much emphasis on what. But I just think it's a reality check. Sometimes we need to just go, are we prioritizing? Am I making sure that I'm seeking first God's kingdom? Or have I got some things a little bit out of sync, a little bit out of order? So what are our priorities? If we're going to see God continue to do great things, if we're going to see God do great things in us and through us, then our priority needs to be seeking first him. I love it in the Bible. We see so many times where the disciples didn't expect what happened. You see it all the time in the Gospels. I love reading the Gospels. I love preaching from the story of Jesus. We see it all the time. So the disciples, they come across a person who needs healing, and they're just like, well, what's Jesus going to do with this? And Jesus heals them. They come across a woman who Jesus has been having a conversation with at the well, the Samaritan woman, who Jesus shouldn't have been talking to. And the disciples are like, Jesus, we just saw you talking to that woman. What were you doing? Why were you talking to her? And actually, she gives her life to Jesus. She brings a whole village out. They all become Christians. Well, they all become followers of Jesus. Christians wasn't used then as a term, just to be accurate. But they all believe in Jesus. And actually, it's believed that that woman then went on to evangelize the whole of that eastern region right up. So the Eastern Orthodox Church have her as somebody who was the evangelist, who took the message of Jesus to the whole of that region. And they're like, why are you talking to this woman? And Jesus is like thinking, of course I'm talking to this woman. She's amazing. She's going to go do some great stuff. But the disciples, they see it all the time. They don't expect Jesus to do something. Jesus says, oh, we've got a crowd here of 5,000 men plus the women and children. They're hungry. And the disciples are like, yeah, should we just send them home? Because we haven't got any food. We can't feed them. And Jesus is like, no, I think we're going to feed them. And they're like, we haven't got enough money to feed them. He's like, well, what have we got? We've got 5 loaves, a couple of fish, this little boy's lunch. We're going to nick his packed lunch. obviously, they don't nick it. He gives it. Jesus blesses it. And they feed thousands of people. They probably didn't expect that. But I wonder if they expected something to happen every day. They might not have always expected what Jesus did. But after you've seen a few things hanging out with Jesus, I imagine they probably woke up to every day and went, I wonder what's going to happen today. I wonder what we're going to see. I wonder if there's a leper who might get healed, or a lame person who might walk. Hey, do you remember the other day when he healed that dead girl? Do you reckon we'll see some more dead people come back to life? Because that was pretty cool, wasn't it? I wonder whether they might not have always thought they would see what they did see, but they probably thought they would see something. Do we think that we will see something, even if we don't know what it is? Do we have faith that God is going to do something? You think about Mary in the beginning of John's Gospel when they're at a wedding. It's the first miracle in John's Gospel. And Jesus is there. The wedding's going great, but they've got some really gluttonous guests and they've drunk all the wine. And they're rushing around and it's going to be a disgrace on the family if they run out of wine. And Mary's like, go and speak to my son because he can do something. She doesn't say what he can do. But she knows he can do something. I wonder whether Jesus surprised her with how he did it, because she didn't know how he would do it. But she knew there was something about Jesus that he was going to do something, that he could do something. We might not always have the specifics of what we want Jesus to do or what we think he should do. Maybe we do have specifics. We think he should do this. We think he should do that. Why haven't you done that, God? And we get disappointed when things don't work out our way. But actually, they always seem to work out God's way. And God's way is, dare I say, usually, probably most of the time, all right, let's just go with it, always. It's always better. God's way is always better. We want a quick fix sometimes, but sometimes it takes years of healing and restoration before we get to that point. And actually, the journey that we go on is so much more enriching of our lives. Painful sometimes, but actually it's what we need. But do we expect God to do something? Whatever it might be. The situation you're looking at right now, the thing you're thinking of, whatever it might be, do you expect God to do something? Because as I look back over my life and I see the things where I've struggled, the things I've wrestled with, the issues, the disappointments, the things where I feel like God has let me down, and then I look back and I go, ah, yeah, but there I saw you, God, doing something. Even if it wasn't the thing I wanted you to do, you were still doing something. God is always, always doing something. Can we have our faith raised, that we wake up in the morning and, like Sam said, we wake up with an expectation that today is a day that God wants to use me. And today I'm going to see God do something in me and through me, with the world around me. Do we have that as an expectation as a church? As we look forward into what will come, and we don't want to get too rushing ahead with the reimagining thing, but I'm someone who loves vision. I love to dream. I'll just close my eyes and start to dream about stuff all the time. Like, I could see this, God. I could see that. Like, do we allow ourselves to lift our eyes up and go, whoa, God, what's next? Do we have a level of excitement and anticipation that God is probably going to do something? And it might not always be what we expect, but it's good, because he is good. I'm excited. I don't know about you, but I feel like where we're at as a church, what God is doing in us and through us individually and collectively, that he is doing something. He has been doing something, and he's stirring up something again to move us into the new thing. There's a lot of things in this sermon. If we listen this back, it's going to be, there's lots of things. But as we look forward, as we start to raise our faith, as we start to raise our expectations, as we look back and we can see what God has done, and there's a history of this throughout the Bible, is looking back to determine what God is like so that we can move forward. The Israelites were supposed to do it all the time. They were always supposed to remember. In Deuteronomy 6, it says, write it on your doorpost, tell your children, tell the stories of God. As you look back on your history, then you will know that I'm with you and you're going to be okay going forward. And time again, the Israelites messed it up. They didn't do it. They forgot. And then time and time again, you get people like Josiah, who's this young king, finds the scrolls, reads them and goes, no way! God did something back then for our people. Maybe he can do something now. And they just dedicate themselves to God, and then they forget again, and they don't remember, and then they find some more stuff, or a prophet turns up, and then they go, oh yeah, God, do you remember him? He did something back then, didn't he? He parted some seas, he did some stuff, he set people free, delivered them out of slavery. Oh, maybe he can do the same again. Maybe he can do something new. God is always doing stuff, so we need to look back, we need to reflect, we need to review, we need to review, re-look at it, see what God did, so that the situations, the direction we're going in, we know that God is going to do something again today, in the future. He is always doing something, and do we have the faith to lift up our eyes and say, I want to see with eyes of faith? Because Paul wrote, didn't he, we live by faith, we don't live by sight, we live by faith and not by sight. I'm trying to remember the verse. It's a good one. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. We live by faith and not by sight. But so often, if we're honest, we live by sight and not by faith. We live by what we see and not by what we believe. Do you want to tell that story really quick? Yeah.
If you want. Can we invite the worship band up as well? Because I know it's a worship band when I come up. The story I want to tell is a story where a man that came from God died so that we could live. And I just want to encourage you, if you've never thought about this, if this is your first time here, I want you to know, and even if you have been here, if you've been a Christian for your whole life, we need to know that Jesus died on a cross. He suffered and he died so that we could have a free life. And if you've never even recognized or acknowledged Jesus, I just encourage you to do that now, because it's just so freeing. It's freedom from sin. Sin has no hold over you. The anger that you feel, the anxiety that you feel will be gone in a second when you focus your eyes on Jesus. And yes, you have to do that again and again and again. And did you know that Jesus rose again? So he did not just die to destroy the power of sin in your life. He also rose again so that we could live in eternity with him, with the Father. So as we're worshiping, as these guys start to worship, if you've never done that before, if you just want to do that again, just turn your eyes to Jesus. If any lies come in, just say, back down in the name of Jesus right now. I have to do that on a regular basis, because I want to focus my eyes on Jesus, because he is incredible.
Should we stand? We're going to worship. So Holy Spirit, we pray that as we sing this song, as we lift up our voices to you, Holy Spirit, would you come, fill our hearts, touch our lives? Would we know you more? Would we have faith arise in us? But we know that you are doing something in our lives, in our church. Raise our faith, Lord Jesus.